We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, sir.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club, and we got some legends in the building.
Icons living
in
That's
the building.
Right.
And we mean it this time.
We really mean it.
He says special guests a lot.
Yeah, special guests.
It's a little different.
I ain't say icons. I ain't say legends.
Yeah, you're right.
The icon living.
We have Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Absolutely.
Here.
Right. Come on, round of applause.
Bad boys.
Martin
Lawrence, goddamn it. Bad boys.
And we did Martin so dirty.
No, we didn't do nothing. They ain't got nothing to do with us.
Y'all had me stuck in the elevator
it's not
for 15
our
minutes. I said, what's going on here?
Now, did you check the weight capacity, Martin? How many people was on the elevator with you now?
It was a lot of people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I've never seen an entourage like this from anybody. And we interview a lot of rappers.
It's like a party. Okay. So what were y'all talking about on the elevator?
I just told nobody don't fart. I said, please don't do that.
Is that the worst when you're on the elevator with people you don't know because you got to make small talk? And,
yeah. Mm. You know, I'd be like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, wait, ooh, what's that? Oh, no, you just happy to see me? Okay.
So you guys are brothers. You've done movies. You're friends. I just want to ask you guys a question. What's the craziest gift that you guys receive from each other, if anything?
Craziest gift?
And I'm going to tell you why in a second. Okay? Mm-hmm. Craziest gift.
It's because it's Martin inspired.
That's right.
It's Martin inspired. Yes. Craziest gift. We gave each other golf clubs. Golf clubs, yeah. You didn't swing one time, did you?
No. You golf, Martin?
He does.
Well, not really. Okay. I go out there.
No, I golf, but I was like trying to get him because like, if you've played any sport in your life, once you get to a certain age, you know, you're not going to be running ball, you know.
Gotcha.
So, but like golf, you get to, you know, cuss at your friends and you get to do, you know, you get all of the same kind of energy from golf, except you can do it till you're 80.
Gotcha.
So I was trying to have Marty Marr, but he ain't take to it.
Do you still have him at least?
I have the clubs.
Yeah. Okay. You don't got to lie, Marty. You don't got to lie. We gifted it. It's cool.
So is this disrespectful, right? So this is what Charlemagne, my brother, I guess you can call him that, got me for Christmas. It's right behind you. Right.
I think. I mean, listen, it's Martin inspired.
Gina had got Martin something like this on the episode.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
My wife is a little upset. She's like, what's going on? You guys, you know.
I mean,
is that a little disrespectful or what? I'm just asking.
I mean, here's the deal. I don't judge a butt by the cover, right? But what was the thinking? What was you, like, what were you going for?
He calls me his favorite asshole all the time.
Oh, got it.
Boom.
Got it.
So an asshole from an asshole.
Yeah, so he can have it at home.
There you go.
To be reminded of the level of assholeness that he has to deal with on a day.
There you go.
Okay. That's not bad.
We don't
send each other that kind of stuff.
And then you might want to slap it every now and then.
Boom. That's the whole point. It's like the Apollo law. You're going to put it up in hand, mount it, and let people smack it when they walk in.
Yeah, let's talk Bad Boys. Now, why did it take so long to put this out and to get this done?
Will Smith.
This guy.
That guy?
Yeah, no, it had to be right, man. It's you know what, the first Bad Boys, what it meant for the culture, you know what I mean? It was like, it was at a time, you know, the height of Martin and the height of Fresh Prince, and we came together and made this movie, and it was like, It was an important moment, you know, for the culture. At that point, it was Eddie, you know. Mm-hmm. Eddie was the black dude that was holding it down. Mm-hmm. And then we came together and created something. And then we got to the second, and I just didn't want to mess it up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, I didn't want to do a cash grab, you know. Everybody's doing sequels, let's do one. I was like, no, if we're going to make a Bad Boys a third one, it has to be deservant. There has to be messages and ideas. We got to be talking about something, and it's not just, you know, blowing some stuff up and you know, getting paid.
I was leery at first. I'm not confirmed. I was leery. Because the first and second one, you guys are doing stunts. Y'all driving through things. Y'all breaking things.
You trying to say they old now? Don't play them. You trying to say they old?
You're goddamn right. The knees ain't the same.
Stop.
But Will just said they play golf because they're not going to be running around.
Trying to switch it up a little bit. But no,
we
for
got
me,
good stuntmen, though, in this one.
Yeah, we got,
oh, got stuntmen now.
So we use them.
We use them this time.
Yeah, and it's different also. There's different technologies and stuff like that. So you can do stunts up to a certain point. What we didn't have in the first movie was face replacement. They do face replacement
now. What the hell is that?
So I can do a stunt, right? And then they have the stunt man do the exact stunt that I did, and they can match it, and they can replace my face on the stuntman.
Wow.
Right, so they can just do it. So they can hold a single shot, but they can use the actual face of the actor, and you can't tell the difference in the stunt. So you get to do as much as you, or as little as you want. You didn't used to be able to do that before.
How much that cost? Jeesh.
Yeah, no, that's that's.
Hey, there's a budget for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's expensive, though.
Speaking of budgets, how does money work in a situation like this?
Yeah, what
like,
you mean?
Do y'all get equal pay? You know, because there was a rumor that you was making like $10 million more than Martin.
Hell no.
Jeesh.
11, okay, it was 11. I'm sorry.
Boy, we've been talking for 4 minutes. You don't go to that shit 4 minutes into the damn interview.
That's it. Interview.
Right.
You know, is we finished or is we done? Okay?
You know what? As we get ready for this movie, though, you do research on how Bad Boys started, and I was reading that it was originally intended for John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
Yeah, yeah, they were the original Bad Boys.
That would have been trash.
Horrible. Been
so trash. How did you guys end up
Well, the script
it?
Came to me. They presented it to me first, and then they wanted me to pick somebody to co-star with me in the movie. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Ray, brought Will's attention to me, and he said, won't you do it with Will? And I thought about it, so I called Will.
He was like, the Fresh Prince.
Nah. I thought about it, I called Will. I said, let's set up a dinner, and Will came to my house, and we had a dinner. And after 5 minutes of talking to him, the rest is history, man. He, you know, couldn't say no.
Yeah, no, we literally, it's one of those things, you know, and you know how important it is in a situation like this to have chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, somebody picks up right when you go in and you create a chemistry. Mm-hmm. The second we sat down, it was there, and it was so perfect, mm-hmm, that we knew that mm-hmm we wanted to work together.
Did y'all know each other back then?
We had met, but we didn't really know each other. Like the Bad Boys was the first time we actually sat down and chopped it up. And you know, it's you can't fake and you can't buy chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't buy chemistry. It's right. Like you either got it with somebody or you don't. And you know, me and this one right here, it's like there's so much love and so much respect for each other and it's just fun to watch. You know, with people that really vibe like that.
So, Martin, you ever looked at it like you watched the early Fresh Prince and he was used to, I don't know if you remember, but he used to say his lines right before
you
said it.
Yeah, that was a bad
look.
You
never looked at none of that stuff and be like, you know what, I don't know about this one.
No, I never did. I did. Will does great work, yeah. You know, and I thought he was great on the Fresh Prince and his energy, the energy mm-hmm he brings. So I just was excited to work with him.
So I was jealous as hell. I was jealous as hell of Martin.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're being honest, because I was going to ask who had the better sitcom. Who y'all think?
I think that's a matter of opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking between y'all.
Jealous as hell.
That's a tough one.
Who had the better sitcom? Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to call that a tie.
You see what he's trying to do here, though?
No, really.
I just figured out what I'm gonna get you for Christmas. Just figured out what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Something that you are.
Give him another hand.
Maybe two of them. Now let me ask you guys this: do you watch your sitcoms? Like, because they come out all the time. So I'll be home watching. I was watching Biggie, mm-hmm, Martin the other day. I was watching Queen Latifah on The Fresh Prince the other day. And you look back at it and you're like, damn, these people became so huge, even after that.
Now, the great thing about a TV show, when you do something every week, you get a real chance to like try people out and put people on. With Queen Latifah, you know, we've been friends forever, but on The Fresh Prince, she was like, yo, I think I want to try acting. So we were able to set it up on the Fresh Prince for her to make her acting debut on the show. So it's like when you have something like that, it's like a gym. You know, you get to train and you get to work out and you get to have, you know, people come through. So it was, for me, that was one of the best parts of it, to be able to meet people and you know, you have a week to work stuff out and mm-hmm, you know, did you find the same?
Yeah, I love putting all the hip-hop artists on, mm-hmm, you know, because that's what I represented, mm-hmm, hip-hop. So mm-hmm I had a lot of fun with it. And just everybody that came on, we had a lot of fun.
I want, you know, Will, I always thought about the scene with you and the late, great James Avery.
Yeah.
When your father left.
Yeah, man.
What did you dig into to get that kind of emotion out of that scene? Because even now, if you watch that, your eyes water.
I still feel it.
And it's like, James Avery, man, it was like, so everybody on The Fresh Prince was stage-trained actors, you know? So it was like Alfonso starting the show had 15 years of experience, mm-hmm, coming in. So I was the least experienced.
The tap dance kid.
Right. Yeah, you know, moonwalking into Michael Jackson. You know, so when I came onto the show, James Avery was one of the first people that pulled me up, and he was like, hey, you know, you have real talent. Don't squander it, mm-hmm, right? And so he never liked nothing. He didn't like nothing I did, right? And I was always trying to get his approval, you know, Shakespearean trained, big command of his voice, his body as an instrument, as a performer. And, you know, so in that scene, it was like the first time that I took a real dramatic shot. Mm-hmm. And James Avery in that scene, and we're doing it, and I'm trying to get there, and I want to impress him so bad. And the first time in front of the audience, I missed it, and I messed the scene up, and I'm like, fuck, and I'm losing it in front of the audience, you know, and he looks at, hey! And I snapped in, and he's like, use me in this scene. And we went, and he said, get it together, and I settled down, he said, action. And we get, and then ultimately we did the scene, mm-hmm, and we had the scene that was there, and I'm holding him, and when I'm holding him, he whispers in my ear, now that's fucking acting, mm, right? And I was like, ah!
you but you know. Had to you tapped into disappointment, right?
Yeah,
you know, disappointed him, and you.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah. And no, but that's what he was telling me about how to use the actor in the scene. He was like, "Use me. Don't try to find it mm-hmm. in you." So then, when I tapped into the idea of how bad I wanted to impress him, and how much I'm getting in, I'm feeling it now. It's like when you have those emotional toolboxes. Sometimes you slip into, I can feel that emotion right now. And it was like, he was the father figure that Will felt like, Will, me personally, felt like I was disappointing him in that scene. Mm. So I tapped into that and I used my relationship with James Avery to find that emotion. But, you know, for me, it's been a massive acting journey, hugely on the back of his teachings and his urging of me to always go deeper.
Now, how did you guys both get those shows, you know? And Will, did you feel like, I'm a rapper from Philly, if I cross over, I might destroy my career?
Hell yeah.
And Martin, how did they give you that show, or how did that show come together?
Well, for me, my manager at the time, his name was Topa Carew. He took me into HBO Hip, and they had it was called Hip at the time. It was
parent company, sister
yeah,
company.
Parent company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he took me in to meet Chris Albrecht. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, you know, this guy's funny. And what'd you think about giving him his own show? So Chris was like, all right, we'll try it out. So I was like,
just like that.
That sounds really
out.
Simple.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. He said, I'll try it out. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Rest was history.
Wow.
And that was big back then, especially for a black man.
Yeah.
For the kind of show it was.
Yeah.
For you to be a hip hop dude mm-hmm. doing a show.
And they said right away that show had good ratings.
Yeah, yeah. And I did all them characters because I really wanted the show to work, you know, and I didn't want it to fail. So I just started doing all these characters to try to push it.
You know, I was wanted to ask you, Martin, we live in this era of like pause and, you know, rappers saying no homo. When you was doing Shanae and you was doing scenes like all up on kids, did you ever get backlash back then from your people? Because nowadays if a guy did that, he'd be like, pause!
Be all over.
Pause, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't
back
get
then it was just funny to us.
It was just funny, nah. Mm-hmm.
Did you even think about it at all? Time. Or you just like, nah, I just want to make people laugh?
I just want to make people laugh. That was it. With each character, that was it.
Martin, did Will, has he tried to get you to be more active on social media?
Yes, in his own way, yes. He gave me a camera.
No, yeah.
Use this.
Yeah. Do you have a camera team with your social media? Because do all
everywhere
types of wow-ish.
Yeah, are you considering jumping into? Because you see, Will, it's been so effective for you.
Yeah.
So, Martin, like, we don't know as much about you now like as we do about Will. Will, we mm-hmm. didn't used to know as much.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you like it now.
I mm-hmm. love it.
Right. So you think that would be something
I'm
good?
Trying to do more things. You know, I'm trying to be more creative. This guy has a creative mind, so he's always on there. But I'm trying to find things I could do and bring to the people. Mm-hmm. You know?
So no jumping out the plane for you, Mark?
No jumping out the plane or swimming with sharks and all that. None of that.
Why, Will?
So here's what happened.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. It's not weird. It's just why.
It's what? No.
You got a family, Will.
No. So what happened was... and it's funny because it was something like, you know, I've been watching you for a while, and it's something that I wanted to talk to you about. We'll dive into it offline. But the idea for me is I painted myself into a corner with Will Smith, right? And I realized that, you know, we have our childhood traumas and we have our experiences, and then we all create these characters that are going to be our characters that defend us in the world.
Ooh.
There's certain things we can't do, there's certain things we can't say, mm-hmm. certain ways we react if people do something, and we create a character that we go out into the world with. Then that character wins some things for us. It was like, oh, we succeed by behaving way.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Then what happens, you get to a point where it stops working as well. And the reason that it stops working is because it's not true.
Really?
It's not really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get backed into a corner, it stops working. Now the question is, are you gonna be courageous enough and are you gonna be brave enough to kill, essentially, the character that you've created, mm-hmm. and are you gonna have the courage to live as who you really are?
Mm.
And on my 50th birthday, when I jumped out of that helicopter over the Grand Canyon, that was kind of my moment for myself where I was like, I'm going to be who I am, even if it isn't in line with the Will Smith that people think I'm supposed to be. I'm going to have the courage and I'm going to have the bravery to be who I am, you know? And it's like, I've been watching you for a while. And that's what I was like, that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. I can see the mechanism happening in your mind. You're seeing Charlamagne Tha God as separate from you.
Absolutely.
100%. And I was like, I can see, I looked at a little bit of your book too. And I was like, you know, I want you to know who you really are is enough. That the character can die.
You can see the evolution.
Yes, because I always said I never wanted to be a caricature myself. Right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I just finished reading this book called The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health. And the woman, Rita Walker, said we have to be willing to let go of who we want people to think
yes,
we are.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing for me. Me and Jada talk about that a lot, you know, even in the idea of our marriage and how people want us to be married versus how we're really married.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's a really different thing, and it's so hard to let go of the characters
and what people want to see.
And because also those characters saved your life when you were young.
Right.
Yes.
Those ideas saved your life.
And made you money.
And they made you money. Right. You know, so letting go of that and having the courage to really be who you are in the world, and it's like, it's terrifying.
Will should be a motivational speaker.
He's not? I thought he was. You follow him on
Instagram? Now, one of your closest friends called you, right? And he's a close friend to us as well. He called you and he asked you for a couple million and you gave it to him.
No, you didn't.
I did not.
That did not happen.
When Tyrese called you and asked you for those millions, you gave it to him. What was that conversation like?
No, you know, let me tell you something. Me and Tyrese, we've been friends.
Now, he's our guy, though. I just want to tell you.
No, that's my dude. Tyrese is my dude. It's like, Tyrese calls me when he don't want it cut. He want it raw and uncut.
Right.
And, you know, the amount of talent that dude has and all the possibilities that Tyrese has is what I keep drumming in with him. Tyrese is functioning at 40% of the capacity of what he really is, you know? And that's another thing, being brave enough to be who you really are versus, you know, being Tyrese.
Right. Exactly.
You're right.
I'm about to say that Tyrese ain't got to that level. Yeah, no. Tyrese still putting the character out there.
Yeah, you know, and we all do, you know? Yeah. There's still, it's like Will Smith takes good care of me. Will Smith takes good care of me. It's just it's not all the way me.
Gotcha.
You know, there's a certain amount of pretense and inauthenticity that it takes to hold up the character.
That's so fucking interesting because I think about that with you and Martin. Martin, I'm sure that it was a time where everybody wanted you to be like, Martin! You know, make it. But then what if that's not you?
Yeah, well, it's not me all the time. Like, people think that I'm on all the time. When they see me, they think I'm always going to be joking and all that, but I'm probably a lot more shy in person than I am, you know.
You can't be shy of all.
No, believe it or not. Yeah. Believe it or not, I don't joke all the time. I don't talk all the time. I like to listen a lot and just take things in. You know, I'm not
all. Martin, this dude is one of the most authentic people that I have ever met, you know, and, you know, with his life experiences and with the thing, Martin is as close to 100% authentic as anybody I've ever met. It's no bullshit with this dude, you know?
Thank you, man.
Yeah, like that's the first time you heard that. He never told you that before.
I want you to explain you talked about it on Crown, shout out to Ellie Wilson. I want you to talk about the Reggie scene in Bad Boys, right? because, you know, I'm a father of five, right? But growing up, I'm like, if I have a daughter, I'm doing the same damn thing.
Right, yeah,
explain
right.
that to people who haven't heard and how that whole situation happened.
So with Reggie, so he was a young actor. He had never done anything, so it was his first role. So Michael Bay was concerned that he wouldn't be able to perform the level of discomfort that we needed for the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Bay was like, "Yo, don't talk to him.
Don't talk to him."
He said, "I want y'all to be like, pretend like y'all arguing, pretend like you're not getting on. I just want to get them riled up, you know." So I go and I sit down with the kids. So he's first he meeting Will and Martin. So I'm sitting down, I'm talking. And then Martin comes up and he says, "Hey, Will, you know, you stepping on my lines a little bit in the scene. I need you to leave a little bit of room so I can, you know, get my line in there." And I was like, "Nigga, you need to get in where you fit in."
Damn. Right?
Jesus. And the kid, Christ. The little kid is sitting there. He's like, oh, no. Martin was like, yo, Will, why you acting like that, man? I'm saying, why I'm acting like what? Why I'm acting like what? And me and Martin start arguing in front of the kid, and this kid is sitting there like,
oh, terrified.
Sure, right. He's like, Michael Bay is watching him, and as soon as he sees how the kid is terrified enough, he's like, action.
And then I go, what the fuck you on? I'm here to pick up Megan. He was terrified.
He handled it well.
Yeah, he handled it well.
That kid was shook for real.
He was shook.
Have you seen him again or no?
We saw him. We've seen him again. We can't talk about it, but yeah, you will know okay. soon. We've seen him.
Why isn't Gabrielle Union in this one?
Gabrielle,
because she played such a big role in the second one.
I just think we took a different story turn.
Yeah, it was like there was no spot in the story. Like, where would that work for those characters to be in? But we'll definitely Bad Boys 4.
Is there gonna be it before? Because I see it on IDM, whatever that shit called. IMDb.
Yeah.
But you said this is the last one.
Yeah. No. We're going to let the audience decide.
Oh, okay.
After people see it, like, you know, I love working with this dude, man. And it's like, I'm at the point in my life where I don't even want to do nothing if I'm not going to have fun, you know? And it's like, I'll take half the money that it would be as long as, you know, I can have fun. And, you know, we come to
they
work.
They're going
to
keep you to that day. Now. You know, they're going to never.
His agent's like, no, we won't. No, we won't. Let me ask you this. We were wondering, did Khaled try to get you on the soundtrack?
Yeah, we were talking, you know, just the timing of it. I so wanted to try to jump on there. We worked together.
He was annoying the fuck out of you.
No, listen. Khaled is the best of the best, man.
Yeah,
like, let me tell you.
Khaled's cool, man.
Khaled was coming to set a month before it was time for his scene. He was coming to set a month before it was time for his scene.
Yeah.
It's like, let me tell you, but that energy, like, you, when you hit Miami, you know, you got to kiss the rings when you hit Miami, you know, you got to shout out Khaled. But he you know, he was coming down to set. He was, you know, he so loves the franchise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, he loved it. He wanted it to win, and he wanted to do everything that he could do to help us win.
I tell kids you have to have a DJ Khaled level of annoyance in order to get things done.
No, that's real. Yeah. I call it fearlessness and relentlessness.
Persistence. Mm.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You got to be fearless and relentless. And Khaled is both of those. And you know, that type of energy is the energy that cuts through.
Right.
You can't be quiet about it, and you got to lean on it at all times.
Let me ask a music question. We talk about music a little bit. Fresh Prince or Will Smith, who's the better rapper?
I think somebody said Will Smith was a whack rapper, but Fresh Prince
was dope.
Somebody said that. Where'd that come from? I heard that somewhere. Hold on. Let me see. That's where I heard that from.
That came out of that hole.
But in your personal opinion, who do you think?
No, you know what? There was a certain amount of rawness and unbridled creativity during the first part of my career. Mm-hmm. And then once I started winning, it did kind of narrow the avenues of what I wanted to do. It was more important to me to win than to be me, you know? And you know, so
there was a certain amount.
The Fresh Prince was wild and raw and unapologetically,
right?
You know, himself. And then Will Smith got a little bit more polished. And once you line up a couple of number ones in a row, you get that the taste for blood in your mouth, and that taste sort of destroys the vastness of your creative mind.
I remember hearing you on Rap Radar podcast, and you said that it was a point where you didn't even want to curse.
Yeah, well, that was my grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my grandmother.
For you in comedy, does that work in comedy too? Like, as you get more famous, you can't be as raw, you feel like, as you used to be? Because you're still doing comedy tours.
Yeah.
I know you got a lot of comics coming out with you, but how does that work in comedy?
I don't compromise my comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I never did in the past. You know, when I put out You So Crazy, they wanted me to water it down and give it an R rating. And I took a NC-17.
Right.
Just so I could say what I wanted to say. And
water glistening all over your
body. Yeah,
all over your body.
You know, and so I don't like to compromise my comedy, and I don't do it today. I just do what I want to do and have fun with it.
Now, what's
the worst decision that both of you guys made in your career? Like, what's one thing you say, damn, I shouldn't have did that? What's one thing you said that, damn, I shouldn't have did that? Yeah. Or what did you pass up? Or something that you regret?
I made the Wild Wild West instead of making the Matrix.
Yeah, that was a terrible choice. Like, that was a poor choice as well. Yeah. Very poor choice.
What about you, Mark?
I didn't go with him on the last press junket.
Mm-hmm.
And,
for Bad Boys too?
For Bad
Boys. He did it by himself. And now that I see what we on this press junket, all that we got to
the
do and
have.
The fun that we had.
Why did you go?
Well, it's different.
Was that during the wild phase when you was waving the gun on Ventura Boulevard?
No, it was just a different time, and you know they didn't want to fly me private. I wanted to go private. It was politics, so. Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I've learned from that from now, and I would do something different now.
Are you still banned from SNL?
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn.
It was something with the monologue back in the
day.
Yeah,
because
I was raw, right.
Yeah.
That's probably an honor.
I didn't know that.
You really banned?
I didn't know that.
No, but I'm not banned from SNL.
Oh, I thought you said it was
no,
a
they
band.
Had banned me from NBC at the time
for
a minute. Yeah. But then they realized you know, the way it went down wasn't what they thought.
Yeah.
And then they sent me an apology letter. Warren Littlefield, I think, was the president or something. And he sent me a letter and apologizing, saying, welcome back to NBC and everything.
So. Did you say, suck my dick, fuck you?
No.
How were you humble about it?
No, I just went on the air and read it on Jay Leno and said
with comedy now, you know, you see everybody so sensitive with everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you do a comedy special now? Because I'm thinking, like she said, the water glistening all over your body. Mm. I can see people having a problem with that.
And you see Eddie Murphy talking about his past comments and saying that he is apologetic now about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the question is?
Would you have a problem doing a comedy special and doing what you want to do? Not care about what you say? Would you curve your comedy?
I probably would think about it a lot more, you know, what I'm saying out of my mouth, just because I have kids now and I care about how it affects them. And But for the most part, I just want to give people what I'm feeling, you know, and that's what I do.
How your kids look at you when you do it? Do they look at you as Martin, the guy on comedy, and be like, come on, dad? Or is it one of those things that you just dad? And the same thing with you.
I'm just dad.
I'm
just dad. Daddy, you so silly. I'll be doing anything. Daddy, you just silly, dad.
My kids don't know I'm hot. Like, I be trying to tell them. Like,
I feel like he's hot. Like,
you know what? He made Icon Living.
Just like Jaden, you know, he made that. I remember when I first heard that, I was like, that record was crazy. And I was like, I find myself like, I'm at breakfast with, hey man, yo, you think I can jump on that? You know? I was like, this is crazy. I'll jump on it if I want to jump on it. But yeah, it's like my kids, they think I'm silly and I can't get them to see I'm hot.
I wanted to hear you on Smile Bitch by Lil Duval. Living my best life.
Because,
I mean, if you look
crazy
at the gram, you are the person living their best life.
No, I'm definitely living my best life, man. It's like that when I jumped out of that helicopter, I hit the next phase, you know, of my life in a way that this last year has been the best year of my adult life.
Really? When he jumped, I thought the movie wasn't going to happen.
That's it.
I just said, damn it. Then they said he was swimming with sharks. I said, damn it.
Well, I heard you once say, well, that there's nothing your wife could do, Ms. Jada Pinkett Smith, to break up the relationship. As a husband, how do you know that?
We've been wildly tested. You know, we have tested each other. You know, we have attested our commitment to the partnership. We've attested our commitment to our family, and you know, there's a certain amount of let's say battery that you have to subject each other to in order to know that you really down, you know, and you know, it ain't nothing I'm talking about on the Breakfast Club, but
tune into that table talk, so guys.
Whatever your next question is, whatever your next question is,
just one.
I see where this is going.
Whatever your next question, I've been watching you. I know your ignorant patterns. You got ignorant patterns. You got the setup. You do the setup, and then your eyes do this little thing, and you sit back. You put an innocent face on, and you lob one out, and then you come with the one that you don't have
this
no business asking.
No, this ain't bad.
That ain't none of your business.
I just wondered, did you ever, were you ever jealous of the love Jada had for Tupac?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I thought you were going to say no.
Oh, my God. That, dude, that was in the early days.
Yeah.
That was in the early days, and it was like, that was a big regret for me, too, because I could never... I could never open up to interact with Pac, you know, and because we had a little bit of a thing, right? Because you know, they grew up together, and you know, they loved each other, but they never had that, you know, they never had a sexual relationship. Yeah. But they had come into that age where now that was a possibility, and then Jada was with me, you know. So you know, Pac had a little thing on that, but she just loved him like he was the image of perfection, but she was with the Fresh Prince, you know? So it was like, I never could, like, even we were in a room together a couple times, I couldn't speak to him, you know? And, you know, he wasn't going to speak to me if I wasn't going to speak to him. But,
really? It seemed like y'all would have so much in common.
No, that's what Jada would say all the time. She was like, I'm telling you, y'all are so similar. You will love him. And I just never, you know, that was a huge regret of mine. I just didn't, I couldn't handle it, you know? I was the soft rapper from Philly, and he was Pac.
Right.
You well, at
know
least
what
he didn't
I mean?
Do a diss song about you or nothing.
I know, that right, exactly, exactly. But yeah, no, I was deeply, deeply insecure, and just I wasn't man enough to handle that relationship.
So
they
gotta
go. They gotta go, guys. So last question.
I just saved you, Will.
I just saved you.
We out of the relationship stuff. Do either one of y'all feel like y'all got something to prove?
Now?
No.
Yeah, right now.
I don't feel like I have anything to prove, but I'm not finished. I feel like I got so much more to do.
Cause Will, they give you a lot of shit. Like they talk about a cold streak you're having at the box office, and you know, it was like one time you was guaranteed blockbuster. Yeah. Like,
that
so I'm
was
like,
pretty dope.
Does that stuff bother you? Like,
yeah. You know what? It's I transitioned from my material world journey to my inner journey, and not in a weird way, just in a way is I gotta be okay with me. I can't give a fuck what anybody thinks, and it's like I don't even look at the box office anymore. I don't even want that in my mind, comparing myself to what other people are doing. And I had a brief moment there where I got stuck on The Rock, you know, and he doing all these billion-dollar movies, and I got stuck in, and that animal woke up again. But I was like, you know what? It's like I realized there's never enough. You'll never earn enough money. If you stick yourself on sex, you'll never have enough sex. You'll never have enough of anything in the material world. So I'm into my space now where I'm letting go of that, and I just got to be good with me. I got to walk around happy and comfortable with me, no matter what the fuck nobody else think.
Word.
You know, and that's where I'm at right now, kind of detoxing my addiction to numbers and wins and comparison.
That's wild, because you're Will Smith and you're Martin Lawrence. Like, there's no, you shouldn't be in competition with nobody but yourself.
Martin, has Netflix approached you about doing a special or a series? Because you have the tour, you have all the comics, you have yourself.
Not yet, but I'm sure I could do one if I wanted to with them and everything. But I don't want to just do one just to do one. I want to do one that's special, that has some...
Because I feel like you need to do a whole thing. I mean, you were Mr. Def Comedy Jam. You could have, you know, bring up some other up-and-coming comics, put them on, and do your own thing.
Yeah. And maybe the Lit Tour. We may bring the Lit Tour to Netflix.
All right.
Well, we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about a lot of good stuff.
Keep doing what y'all doing. I listen.
Yeah.
And
we watch y'all all the time.
Yeah,
man.
It's a really unique voice, and, you know, you give voice to people that would be voiceless otherwise, you know. So just
thank you so much.
You know, I love what you're doing, and I've been, dude, you know, you got another gear, and I'm looking forward to seeing.
Thank you, my brother.
And you could take, you guys could take that ass with you,
take
on
that
the floor.
Yeah,
it's a parking game. You guys can have that.
What's crazy though is it has the balls too. It's
like, I did that on purpose.
It's one, yeah.
I didn't want it to be no mistake.
Yeah.
Of what kind of ass it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know how they molded it. How they laid down. If he sat.
I invited you to come.
Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.